Good evening. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. Today is Sunday, May the 8th, 2022. And we are getting closer and closer to the Ontario provincial election taking place on June 2nd, 2022. And this is one more of an ongoing series of podcasts discussing the election, discussing candidates, discussing independent candidates, and most specifically, independent candidates and the upcoming election. And my guest this evening is a return guest, Baman Yazanfar, who has a long history in the promotion of independent candidates. How are you this evening, Baman?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, I gather that as usual, when an election comes around, that you are busy getting yourself organized and getting your independent candidates organized. Is that correct?
Yes, but unfortunately, this time around, apparently, there are not much of an appetite for people to fight back. I am not sure why. Maybe because of the, I am guessing the one of the factors is the situation and the restriction on the independent candidates' resources or a small party candidates' resources to access what is available. Very similar to the major mainstream parties.
Okay, well, let's unpack that just a little bit. So I'm understanding you to be saying, leaving aside the specific details, that small party candidates and independent candidates are an extreme, just sort of logistical and built-in disadvantage relative to the main parties. Is that your position?
Yes, and not only that, it is just a... Let's say there is 4 weeks campaign period. Let's say I start from the application process for an independent candidate or a small party candidate. It's very time consuming process to go through that process by himself or herself, where the mainstream parties, they have infrastructure, they get subsidies from taxpayers' money, they have assigned some particular employees to do all of those nuisance, boring paperwork for them, while the candidates can do their campaigning, if they do campaigning. And then there is another side to that is the issue of the media accessibility and the exposure to the public, which unfortunately, as you know, over the last 13, 14 years that I have been in this gig, neither CRTC nor Elections Ontario nor any other bodies has done anything to help a little bit of exposure to actual evidence of existence of these small parties and independent candidates.
Okay. Well, I mean, that is certainly true, but let's take it apart a little more, okay? Why don't you take our listeners through logistically, what do you have to do as an independent candidate to get yourself on the ballot? Just go through it one step at a time. What do you have to do?
Okay, first of all, independent candidates and small party candidates, although they have access to what is available from Elections Ontario pre-drop of the writ, however, they are not sure if they are able to run or not. So they have to really wait till writ drops. When the writ drops, then they have to download or go get copies of the application for Elections Ontario. Then they have to go to the public in the ridings that they are running and obtain about, they ask for 25 eligible resident or legitimate, what is that? Legitimate voters or eligible voters or electorate, they call it. And they collect their signature, which that by itself, it's not a very easy job. Because if someone choose to select a couple of the high-rise building and go in, first of all, you have to access to the building, which sometimes is difficult. Second, you have to knock probably 10, 12 doors to get a couple signature. So you have to allocate 2, 3, 4 hours, if you are good enough in that, if you are not, maybe more, to obtain that, let's say 30, 35 signature, to be sure that all of those signature, there is no reject or there is no false information given to you. After you collected all of that, then
just pause for 1 second here. Okay, so you have to go out and get signatures. And it strikes me that, you know, if you're the Liberal Party candidate or something, you really don't have to go out and get signatures, do you? Because
No, legally they are getting it. But the point is, because they are belong to the big parties, they just photocopy the couple of the pages, give it to a couple of the 2, 3, 4, 5 volunteers, and they do it in 10 minutes.
That's what I mean. So the first point is that you as an independent candidate really do have to go out and get the signatures.
Of course.
And the candidate for the Liberals or the NDP really do not have, although they have to obtain signatures, they don't have to get them themselves.
In fact, federally, you're supposed to collect 100 signatures, 120, to make sure that you have 100 eligible voters.
That's a far bigger job. That can take days.
For instance, do you think Justin Trudeau went out and knocked the doors to get signature?
I'm sure he must have, didn't he?
Well, his visual thinking.
I guess not. Okay.
Or all Doug right. Ford. Do you think Doug Ford went and knocked on doors to get signatures?
Well, I'm sure he must have.
Oh, yes, he must have.
Well, you've met people before getting signatures. That's where we met years ago.
We got each other's signatures. Yes, we discussed that in the last podcast. Yes,
exactly. Very clever. Okay, so now you've got your 30 signatures because you want like 5 extra.
Yeah,
help me with this though. Okay, you know, you say, well, I went out and got the signatures. Let's dig even a little bit deeper. What do you say to people to get the signatures?
Well,
are they scared of you when they see you coming?
No, first of all, they don't know. I personally, at the beginning, I had the learning curve in 2008. At the beginning, I remember I spent 4 hours. I managed to collect 3 or 4 signatures in the federal election I was running.
For the first 4 hours?
First 4 hours, I managed to get either 3 or 4 signatures.
That's not so good for four hours.
No, it's not. And then
What were you doing wrong?
I didn't know that at that time. I just go there and say, hey, my name is Bahman Yazdanfar. I am planning to run as a candidate, and I need your signature as part of my application. And I was rejected constantly, or people shut the door at me. Some of them used profanity. I had to have all of that.
Anybody pull a gun on you?
I'm sorry?
Anybody pull a gun on you?
No, I haven't had that. No, I haven't had that. I have had some sort of the aggressive behavior, like go back to your country, we don't need you, and this kind of thing.
So what did you learn then? Because obviously you've gotten pretty good at getting signatures. How do you actually approach people? I mean, I'm asking this question because this can be like a tutorial for somebody who wants to run as an independent candidate.
Over the last few years, I have been telling to the people who plan to run either under the name of Canadians' Choice Party or for themselves. My formula is as follows. I knock on doors. I step backwards so I'm not intimidating very close to them. I have some sort of the distance even before COVID. It's just a matter of the giving a space to individuals. And I introduce myself. And I say the reason I am here is because I am applying to become a candidate in the upcoming election. As part of my application, I am obliged to speak to 25 or 100, in this case of federal, eligible voters in this riding. By signing this paper, you are not voting for me. You are not endorsing my platform. You are just acknowledging that I spoke to you about my intention.
So in other words, it's sort of, you know, you're saying, you know, just I like your help in supporting the democratic process because it's important.
That's it. And for instance, I have done in this election, I done it on Friday night in one of the buildings in the beaches East York area, which I am planning to run. And I have had a number of the people that they were very cooperative. And by the way, one of the reasons some people don't want to sign, because they do not know the process. They do not know about the system. They think if they sign something, they are obligated to something that they don't know. They are afraid. Some people maybe don't like my face or my accent. That is understandable. But many people I have noticed that they don't like, they are intimidated by the whole process.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting on that. A few years ago, I took it upon myself, as you know, these federal political parties have to be re-registered every few years.
Yes.
And, 250 signatures are required. And I.
Oh, that is more difficult. It's not a signature, it's a declaration, actually.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Anyway, I took it upon myself to actually get these. And boy, was it a big job. I eventually succeeded, but almost everybody who I got those from was contacted by Elections Canada to see if they really signed.
That is another example of the intimidation of the small party. I'm pretty sure if you were collecting signature, let's say as a volunteer for Liberal Party of Canada or Conservative Party of Canada or NDP, you wouldn't have that problem. You just go there and say, well, first of all, you wouldn't have to go after people. They have enough so-called supporters / sycophants that they can get 250 signatures in a matter of 1 hour.
Yeah, or less, even less than that. Now, that's exactly right. There is no question that the system imposes burdens on independent candidates and small parties that it does not on big parties. So it's very, very difficult to, maintain these things. I mean, a lot of these, I don't know a lot about the provincial political parties, but a lot of these federal parties just fold because they can't get the 250 declarations. But anyway, okay, so here you are. We're back into real time. You know, you've got your 30 supporters. What happens next?
After that, you have to call to your returning office of the electoral district or riding that you're running to make an appointment. And then you have to go to that appointment and provide all of your paperwork, which includes those names or signatures rather, and 6, 7, or 8 pages of your information about you have to obtain, first of all, you have to have a CFO, which is Chief Financial Officer. It is very equivalent to the official agent federally.
Oh my God.
And first of all, that is by itself has become a major, major problem.
Why?
Because if I am going to run and if I call you and say, John, I like to have your name as a CFO. And then you would ask, what is involved with that? I said, well, elections body, or in this case, Elections Ontario, or in Federal Elections Canada, you are the main person responsible for all financial transactions. And not only that, at the end of the campaign, you are the one who supposed, or should actually, prepare all of the paperwork of the return and make sure if there is a bank account available or who made any donation, any expenses. So you are practically an accountant for someone who does his or her own things outside of the preview of your schedule.
So in other words, the CFO basically has all the legal liability on the thing.
That exactly. Now, if
I
make a mistake or have a nefarious mind to do something, let's say I collect a couple $100 from someone and didn't tell you, and later on they find out, you are the one first being contacted.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I have been an official agent before. Okay, the federal equivalent. I know that it's not a great thing at all.
I have been for a number of the people, yes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, you practically have to be an elections lawyer, you know, I think to, you know, really, really comprehend the stuff. But yeah, so it would not be easy to get somebody to be that chief financial officer, would it?
Well, I give you just an example. Just today, yesterday actually happened, and someone called me. He has been calling me a couple of times, or contacting me rather, a couple of times during last week or so. He wanted to run to one of the ridings, and yesterday he called me. He said, "I cannot." And by the way, this gentleman is a mature person, born and raised in this country. He said, "I cannot find anyone who accepts to be CFO for me."
I'm not at all surprised by that.
So I'm not surprised, but coming back to the disadvantage of being a small party, if people who want to run with you but cannot, how much chance do you have to grow?
Well, I think, Bauman, that the system is set up so that you have to be very, very, very committed to running to be able to get on the ballot. I mean, it's a lot easier provincially because you only need the 25 or 30 signatures than it is federally. But definitely the system is set up that way. But then, I understand from having spoken with somebody earlier today that you have to have a bank account. Is that right?
If federally, yes. And provincially, no.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So in other words, you just say, well, I'm not going to accept donations. I'm not going to have a bank account.
Let's say I run, I don't have any prospective of any donor to me. And then along the side, you come along and say, okay, I give you $100. If I receive that monetary donation, then I have to open bank account.
Yeah, it's almost better to not take any donations at all, isn't it?
Oh, right now, certain things are becoming easier after last year, some changes to the Elections Act of Ontario. Because up until last year, we had to have an auditor. Still, we should have auditor if the transactions, the total transaction during the campaign period is more than 10,000. But up until last year, everybody should have assigned an auditor. Auditor, again, that person has to be official CPA or anything, so something like that, that is approved by Elections Ontario. I mean, their credential. And here is the icing on the cake. For the last 10 years, 11 years, I have been fighting with this matter because it is a taxpayer's money, because Elections Ontario subsidize up to $2,000 for every return. So I have all of my financial transactions as a small party candidate or as a small party by itself, never exceeded a couple thousand dollars. In most cases was below $500 per year or per campaign period. But every time I had to file the paper, send it to auditor, and auditor just put her signature and collect $2,000 or $1,600 or something like that.
Oh.
And I sent a letter to Mr. Ford and Ms. Mulroney in 2018, two times, no response. So millions of dollars, or at least hundreds of thousands of dollars in every year and during the election time, probably over a million, was of the taxpayer sent to the auditors for signing nil return. So apparently last year, finally, for some fluke, they managed, they either figure it out or they, I don't know what happened. they changed it, and now up to 10,000, you don't need the auditor.
Well, that's, I think that that's certainly an improvement. Maybe that's the Bauman amendment to the Ontario elections law. It certainly is ridiculous, it was ridiculous, no question.
Yes, and now they brought something else. For instance, I registered my party for 11 years ago. It is the fourth time I'm running provincially. And everybody in Elections Ontario, not everybody, but major players, they know of me, or they met me, or they spoke to me over years.
You're a household name.
Well, they know it, whether I am famous or infamous, that is beside the point. But the point is, I read a lot about what they ask, and I follow the rules up to the T. And for instance, just yesterday, I called to a local writing office. I made an appointment for 6:30. I was there at 6:20, waited for 10 minutes. The writing officer showed up, very polite person, nice man, talked to me for a couple of minutes, and he told me that, you didn't have to come here. In fact, if you do it online, it's faster than I do it here. And send me back home. So I came home a couple hours later. I put everything together, scanned every name and all of that, and submitted my papers through online. I receive an email right away. We don't accept you because online is closed. Now, here is the problem with the Elections Ontario and any election body like Elections Canada. We have had the different situation as well. When I am trying to get to bottom of it, that you can check, because I had my paper, I was there on time. They told me go home. So at least have a courtesy to say, I am sorry. And we are going to process that since you did that. No, they are adamant to the point that today, the chief electoral officer of Ontario, Greg Asenza, sent a directive emphasizing on the fact that you should go personally with a piece of ID.
Okay. I've got to ask, are you on the ballot now?
No, not yet. I haven't gone back yet.
You haven't come back yet?
No, I have to, because all of this communication has happened between yesterday, 6:30, and today, 5 o'clock, they close.
Okay. Now, Bauman, are you planning on raising any money? And meaning, are you going to get a bank account, or are you just going to run a complete no-cost campaign?
Okay. All of my running is no-cost, practically. Because, first of all, not too many people give me money personally. I am not, even if I run and get, let's say, a couple hundred dollars, how far does it go? Do you know what is the limit of a candidate in one riding is provincially?
I don't. What is it?
Over 100 grand. And that does not include the support of the local, the constituency association, or the main party. So a candidate from NDP or Liberal or Conservative Party, they probably allocate more than a couple hundred thousand dollars on their candidates to promote that person.
Do you think it helps them?
I'm sorry?
Do you think it helps them?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we unfortunately in Canada, including Ontario, we have only around 60% of the eligible voters vote. And most of them are ignorant voters. They vote for the party, not really vote. They don't know their candidates.
Now let's focus on that point for a minute, okay? And let's talk about the difference between sort of the main party candidates, the Liberals, the Conservatives, the NDP, and I think I would say the Greens at this point as well.
Because they have one member, yes.
Well, no, because they've been, you know, visibly represented for a long time now in the electoral process.
Yes, well, but if they didn't have any member in the Queen's Park, probably they wouldn't pay that much attention to them neither.
Well, maybe yes, maybe no. I mean, from a voter's point of view, they're definitely there. So the difference between voting for one of those and voting for an independent would be what? In other words, how do you see the difference between a party candidate and an independent candidate?
From perspective of the voters?
Well, let's start with your perspective, and then we'll talk about the perspective.
Okay, but first, let's deal with the reality of the fact. If Bahman Yazdanfar was a member, candidate for Liberal Party or Conservative or even Green or NDP, whatever, the voters in the riding that I am running didn't have to know me. They just turn on the news, and the news just put the leaders of the party. They choose me based on what they see on the leader of the party.
Right.
And if they choose to vote for me and I win, and I occupy the seat in the Queen's Park, so to speak, seat of the constituency, then I am legal, I mean, originally supposed to represent the constituents. However, the moment I am getting, I got elected, the whole game changes with the mainstream parties. Then you are one another employees of the corporate organization of that party. So if I am running on behalf of, let's say, Conservative Party and Doug Ford is the leader, the moment I open my mouth against something that he believes in, I am out of the party. So that means it is complete insult to the constituents.
Yeah, I think that's clearly true. I mean, for an independent candidate or a small party candidate, the votes you get really are votes for you.
Yes, maybe someone goes there and look at it and say, oh, I have seen this guy or gal, and I vote for him. And usually that is why the independent candidate gets what? Maybe if they're lucky, they or a small party candidate, they if they're a small, if they're lucky, they get maybe 1,000. But most in most cases is not more than a couple hundred.
Right. So what is it? I mean, first of all, I believe that as of today, there's only, according to the Elections Ontario website, only about 35 independent candidates on the list.
Okay. I haven't checked that. I get your name and word for it.
Maybe it's up by one or two, but it's about 35. You and I would agree that that is a shockingly small number, right?
Yeah, maybe yes, and probably those 35. You have to they go back to the first time I was running or first time you were running. You had a hope, or we had a hope to do some changes, or we were counting on the virtue of the voters to have enough understanding of the process to look at us individually. Which unfortunately is not there. It's not true. Because if 40% of the eligible voters choose not to vote, that means out of the other remaining 60%, 50% of them are just devout supporters of one of the three mainstream parties.
So what do you think, if you can generalize, what is an independent candidate trying to achieve by running?
Well,
the enormous amount of work, the tremendous difficulty, the, you know, total upward battle, unless, you know, you were elected under the party banner and got kicked out of the party and then sat as an independent, which is a different story.
Yes, right? That is a different story. I mean, and historically, maybe, I mean, in the history of Canada, I mean, I'm talking about the whole federal and provincial, maybe you can find maybe 8 or 10 of them managed to get reelected as a
senator. Very few. No question about it. So what is it that motivates an independent candidate? What are they generally trying to achieve?
I cannot speak on behalf of other candidates. In my case, quite honestly, I am pissed off with the whole system. I want to bring I have been trying to bring this dysfunctional system of the so-called electoral democracy to the face of the mainstream parties and the public. And I don't think I have succeeded. I'm just trying probably to just satisfy myself, to live with myself easily, that I am doing something.
Well, I think that what you're doing is actually a noble thing. And, you know, you're calling attention to the fact, at a minimum, at a bare minimum, you're calling attention to the fact that the political parties don't represent the ridings, you know, the constituents. I mean, they're just, you know, off on, as they used to say in my law school days, a frolic of their own.
Well, you just look at the numbers. In every election up until last one, I have calculated, counted very simple, adding and subtracting the number of the votes that managed to get someone to the Queen's Park or to the Parliament of Canada. Without exception, regardless of if it is minority government or majority government, they sat there with less than 18% of the eligible voters. 1/8. And the whole system, the whole parliament, or whole, including opposition, they've always been below 30% of the eligible vote.
Do you think the first past the post system should go?
Of course. Of course.
Why does it continue on? You know, I
it serves the purpose of those elites that have been in power for so many. I mean, I have an old short analogy that I have been always posting for the last at least 15 years. And in that short paragraph, I say the three mainstream parties are like three horses attached to the same carriage, run by the same drivers.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad analogy at all.
And the only people who really enjoy the ride is the people who are sitting in the cabin, which we don't know who they are.
Right. So you get on the ballot, and very difficult to really market yourself, and there are fewer and fewer candidates debates. I think
probably because of these so-called COVID restrictions, probably under that, even they become even much less.
Oh, I think the whole COVID thing has made it harder for independent and small party candidates. But let's say the election is over. What sorts of things do you have to do logistically then to wrap up your candidacy?
Well, after every election, you have to set an amount of the time. If you have received some sort of the donation, of course, or if you have incurred some sort of the expenses, you have to put it together. Actually, you have to discuss it with your CFO. CFO has to do that. And then you have to finalize it by providing complete paperwork, which is a campaign return in a certain period of time to Elections Ontario for them to approve.
So in summary, it is really a lot of work to run as a candidate.
Yeah, it is a tedious, even if you don't have, if you have nil return, it's a tedious process that you have to go through. I give you a scenario that you put, you will have a laugh of it. A couple of years ago, I received a threatening letter from Elections Ontario telling me that I passed a deadline not providing them with a certain forms. One form. And I asked, what is that for? Which I have done it in the previous years, but for some reason I forgot or something like that, and because it was not even that important to me. But the form was, they told me that I did not inform them that I did not have, as a party, I did not have any candidate in a couple of the by-elections. Now, let's digest this. It is Elections Ontario. If I had a candidate, he or she has to be registered with that body. They know that nobody was registered on my party, but yet they want me to file a paper to tell them that I didn't have any candidate.
Well, Bob, we live in a world of forms. You know, that's how you communicate these days. But yeah, I mean, this is a lot of work, and I really got to commend you for your dedication to this. Now, you formed this Canadians Choice Party, which is really more of a coalition, I think, of independent candidates. Just a way.
Yes, we don't have any platform like a Liberal party. It has four pillars. I call it FIST, which is fiscal responsibility, individual freedom, sovereignty, and the transparency. It is just pillars of the party. But we don't have, first of all, you have to understand, under the Westminster parliamentary system, really, providing platform beforehand is kind of contradictory with the whole process of the democracy. You want to send someone into the parliament to be your voice. If you give that voice beforehand, like a combo that you go to the McDonald's and say, all right, give me combo one. Is Liberal combo two, is the Conservative combo three. So really, you don't have any choice.
I think clearly there's very little choice, and that's why people are disillusioned with this stuff in part.
Yes.
How many candidates do you feel that do you anticipate being able to bring together under the banner of your Canadians Choice Party?
On this election? Maybe yeah. Two or three, maybe not more than that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's...
Last time was five.
All right. Well, you know, as we wrap this up here, I wonder if you could take a second and provide a bit of advice for somebody, some advice and encouragement for somebody who wants to run as an independent candidate. I think there's a few days left for them to get their paperwork in, right?
Yes, the deadline for submitting nomination paper is midday on Thursday. If anyone who is interested, he or she can go and get 30, 35 signature in a matter of 3-4 hours. And get the paper done, let's say another an hour or so, call to their electoral office and arrange for an appointment, and they're supposed to accommodate them as fast as possible, because it is the only time that those people are busy. And they just submit their paper and put their name on the ballot. You never know, maybe something changes. We cannot really predict future. And if you go to your, if the voters go to the ballot box, and really they are, what is that, disenchanted with their status quo, who knows? Maybe in one riding, a miracle happens and someone... We need only one independent, pure independent, not independent related to the mainstream party. We really need one independent get elected to create a crack in this dam of these three mainstream parties.
Well, and eventually it will happen, because the future of our democracy really does depend, I think, on independent candidates, because you know, the parties are just basically the cancerous tumor of democracy, I think.
Definitely, at least in the last 50 years.
But, Bob, you know, you've devoted so many years to this cause. I see you as Canada's greatest, shall we say, electionologist. Yeah, absolutely. And also your generosity in helping, you know, candidates get organized and the assistance you've given them. How would people get a hold of you if they wanted help with running as an independent?
Oh, they can go to my website, canadianschoice.com. Everything is written. Actually, is one of the probably, even though it is basic website, but it's probably one of the most informative website among other political parties that you can find.
Well, it's certainly in terms of helping people run, which is, I think, a key point and a great service to the democratic process, to the country, and to the
And I never ask people to join us in a sense just because of us. I always, even if you go through the whole structure of the website, it's constantly talking about independence.
Well, and you know, independents are the key. They are the sort of, you know, they are the engines of future democracy, I think. Well, Bahama, this has been great, great. Thanks for connecting with me this evening to
Thank
have this
chat.
Any final words before we sign off for now?
Well, I encourage people to get involved, help, or become a candidate, or do something, because we have to at least preserve whatever left of the so-called electoral democracy.
I think that's absolutely right. I think we're encouraging people to run as an independent, but if you don't want to do that, at the very least, vote for an independent on June 2nd, 2022.
I mean, anyone but the three mainstream parties or Gang of Three, someone told me a few years ago, the phrase of the Gang of Three. Yes, anyone but the Gang of Three. Because
Absolutely.
They are nothing, these three parties are nothing but a bunch of gangsters.
All right, Bahman. Thanks so much for connecting with me tonight. We'll pick up again soon. Thank you.
You have a nice evening.